This is The Parable, Musings on Design, Faith, and Life with Stephen Olmsted. It's May 21st, 2018. Saying no to say yes. As a peacemaker and people pleaser by nature, one of the single most difficult skills I've had to learn and continue to learn is how to say no to people. This is an incredibly common struggle. A good cross-section of the population can't seem to find ways to say this one simple, tiny, two-letter word. That's crazy, right? And the irony here, of course, is that the very people we're worried about saying no to are probably worried about saying no to us as well. One fun little accountability practice my wife and I adopted early on in our marriage is something we've affectionately dubbed spot the lie. I'll use myself as an example here. When I have a difficult time saying no to someone or something, my wife might say, "Stephen, what's the lie you're believing here?" To which one of the following three common lie patterns might be the answer. Lie pattern number one, the lazy lie. I think that if I say no here, this person might think I'm lazy. Lie pattern number two, the need to be liked lie. I think that if I say no here to this person, they will think badly of me. Lie pattern number three, the FOMO lie. I think that if I say no to this opportunity, I'll miss out and never get the chance again. The reality is that 90% of the time, these sentiments are exactly what we suspect them to be, lies. Things that we're thinking but aren't actually going on in anyone else's head except our own. And what about the other 10% of the time, when those sentiments, gasp, are the actual truth, just as we feared? What if someone does think we're lazy, or really does think badly of us, or we really will have missed out on an opportunity? To be sure, there are always those 1% times when our gut is serving us well, but in many of those cases, the honest truth is this. Maybe our priorities were all mixed up in the first place. Is displeasing your fellow man or being perceived as lazy when you know that's not actually the case really the worst thing in the world if you're, actually being healthy or having the correct priorities in life? I think oftentimes in these situations, what we're actually facing is our own inability to fess up to the fact that our priorities weren't right in the first place. I know that's a trap I can fall into from time to time, and it's one area I need constant prayer and accountability in to resist. I once was at a design conference where the excellent Dan Moll was speaking on the topic of priorities. In his talk, he mentioned that one of the most common excuses in modern society is this: I wanted to do that thing, I really did, but I was just too busy. This has become a socially acceptable response of today, especially in American hustle-praising work culture. We so desperately don't want to say no to people that we dodge the question entirely, or worse yet, we say yes, knowing full well that we'll excuse our inevitable failure down the road with this trite phrase. Society has bought this "I intended to but got busy" excuse, hook, line, and sinker. And the reality of it is this: a person's yes or no is no longer seen as a definitive promise, but more of a loose guideline. The Bible says, "Let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation." Okay, ready for a convicting, super effective life hack? In the same conversation where Dan mentioned the chronic "got too busy" epidemic, he also mentioned something that you can try to break yourself of making that excuse. Here's how it goes. Instead of saying, "I wanted to do that thing for you, but I got too busy," Dan challenges folks to say, "I wanted to get to that thing for you, but it wasn't a priority to me." Think about the ramifications of that when applied to some common life scenarios. "Sorry, honey, I wanted to spend time with you and the kids, but it wasn't a priority for me." "Sorry, son, I wanted to be at your soccer game, but it just wasn't a priority for me." "Sorry, boss, I wanted to finish that project that you asked me to do, but it wasn't a priority to me." Ouch. That smarts. Believe me, it does. I have to regularly reframe my responses in this framework, and it stings every single time. It's a continual battle. And here we get to the point of why it's so important to say no to people and things. It's all about priorities. There is a limited amount of time, energy, and resources in all of our lives, and the hard facts are these. You must say no to some things that are asked of you so that you can say yes to the most important things, the things that you profess with your lips to be a priority, but oftentimes aren't. And now, on the topic of priorities, we come to the next acceptable lie of our society. It's deemed completely okay to profess one set of priorities publicly that are intended to impress others, when in reality, those actual practice priorities are very different. I may say that God and family are my top priorities, but in reality, is that really true or just socially acceptable to say? If you asked God and my family, would they say that the life decisions I make actually play out like that? Again, the Bible says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." Said another way, if I'm all talk and no show, I'm a sham. There's a saying that goes something like this: show me your schedule and I'll show you your priorities. And the sentiment is really much the same as both the spot the lie game my wife and I play, as well as Dan Moll's it wasn't a priority for me exercise I just mentioned. The proof is in the pudding. You may profess one thing and be another. You may say yes to everything, but the reality is that there's absolutely no way in this world you can have the ability to follow through on a universal yes policy. There's not a single man or woman in history that has managed to do that successfully. The point, again, is this: we absolutely must learn how to say no to the less important things so that we can say yes to the most important things. And this applies to all realms of life: personal, spiritual, and professional. As far as life's priorities go, if you haven't ever done so, I highly suggest taking a mini vacation or at least blocking off 3 to 4 hours of time to do some soul searching in the near future. A few weeks ago, I took some time out to diagram out my priorities across the many different vectors of my life: spiritual, family, personal, financial, professional. It's important during this time of reflection to be brutally honest with where you want to be, as well as where you're actually at now. Yes, it means conviction and eating a giant slice of humble pie, but the fact that you're doing this in a personal setting makes it easy to own up to any shortcomings and form a plan of correction. It's also important to be honest about how you plan on tracking changes and ensuring that you're making measurable improvements over time. Sometimes those are quantitative measures, like sticking to a financial budget, and other times they're qualitative, like ensuring you have a system of trusted counselors or accountability partners that will honestly give you feedback. And this isn't a one-and-done sort of exercise. I know I personally have to have a reoccurring time of reflection and evaluation of my priorities. Generally, I do this once a quarter. And once you have your priorities planned accordingly, the next most important thing you can do is to stick to them. And the best way to do that is to learn how to say no to everything that isn't them. This is why no, again, is so important, because without it, we'll end up committing ourselves to a list of items that are lower on the totem pole, or doing many, many small things only marginally well. Okay, this is great at a high level, but practically, what are some things we can do right now and start saying no, and regain some of that time and focus that's crucial to making forward motion on those top priorities? Saying no actually falls into two buckets: the explicit no and the implicit no. Here's some tips for explicitly saying no. And this is the thing many of us most dread: actually having to say the word no. First, don't discount the sheer fact that having a clear set of priorities is automatically justification for saying no. You have the plan, now be honest about it. Be clear about what this means to the requester. Something maybe like this: hey, I'd really like to help you out here, but right now I'm razor focused on a few other high priorities. Unfortunately, I don't have the time and focus I'd need to do what you're asking of me successfully. I'm saying no to you to be respectful of my existing priorities and to ensure I'm being honest with myself and with you. But what about those high pressure scenarios where someone is really putting you on the spot to commit, maybe even in a public group of people? There will always be those times, as well as scenarios, when you don't have adequate mind space to know how to process something in a timely manner. In this case, it's not a bad idea to be honest with the person, even in a group. It's totally appropriate to say, "Hey, can you give me an hour or two to process this before I give you a firm answer or commit to this? If I say yes, I really want to be all in for you, and it's important that I really don't let you down or tell you one thing and then do another. Very few folks can argue with that. And let's talk about tips for implicitly saying no. The implicit no is something I'm surprised we don't talk about more. There are plenty of opportunities to diffuse requests you won't be able to accommodate even before they are asked. What's awesome about setting up your implicit no's is that they require very little confrontation. For working professionals that constantly find themselves asked to attend meetings, stop what you're doing right now and block off some reoccurring reserved time slots ASAP. In short, if your calendar looks free to everyone in your organization, you'll soon find yourself booked to the gills in meetings and wondering when you're going to accomplish the tasks that come out of said meetings. But when you proactively book regularly scheduled reserve spots, you're implicitly saying, "No, I'm not available for that meeting you were about to ask me about," without the conversation ever having to occur. And if you need more proof of this as a sound practice, just ask folks like Nir Eyal, author of Hooked, or Jake Knapp, or John Zerataski, all of whom who have written extensively about the power and importance of this practice. It's a serious life hack you can't afford not to put into place. If you use an instant messaging service such as Slack, it's a good practice to make use of your status message to set expectations and boundaries. I've been known to frequently set my status to the following: in focus mode, if your request can wait 24 hours, I'd sure appreciate it. This is a super simple way to respectfully set expectations of your peers and to give them an opportunity to refrain from asking you questions you'll be tempted to say yes to. Some folks may unintentionally ignore this, but it'll serve as its purpose as a gating mechanism for a large cross-section of the team. One way to implicitly lay down boundaries is to proactively have honest conversations with those who you know you have a particular history of saying yes to. Reach out to them and let them know you'd like to share something important you've recently learned about yourself. "Hi, so-and-so. I wanted to chat with you and apologize. I've realized recently that I say yes to a lot of things, which may seem like a good thing, but it's actually not, because I frequently underdeliver or I deliver at the expense of other super important things that I need to be focused on. I want you to know that you're going to start hearing the word no more from me, because I care for you and I want to give you a resounding yes when it matters most. I wanted to have a super transparent, upfront conversation just so that we can be set up for success in the future. I really appreciate your support as I continue to strive to improve." Lastly, to wrap up this episode, I wanted to issue a couple caveats here. I'm intending these words of encouragement for those of you out there who struggle with saying no. For those of you who have the opposite struggle out there, saying no to too much and not saying yes enough, please don't take this as justification or license to continue playing it overly safe. There is wisdom in living in a place where your capacity is reasonably stretched to stimulate your growth as an individual. Taken to the extreme, saying no too often can lead to stagnation and laziness. Find that area of beneficial discomfort that keeps you pushing and growing while not running you into the ground. And like all things in life, there's a balance here, and it's worth striving for. Embarrassingly, I must admit that even this very week, my wife had to lovingly call me out with regards to some questionable decisions I was making surrounding my priorities. It stung, but she was totally right to do so, and I'm thankful that I have someone in my life who isn't letting me get away with saying one thing and doing another. We are all in process, and we all fail regularly. We're all in daily need of grace to pursue that improvement and growth in every aspect of our lives. Thankfully, failure can be fleeting, learning stacks on itself, and the journey is incremental.